This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 130. It's Dr. Jimmy. Anyone else have Christmas music playing in the background? The day after Thanksgiving, our family tradition is to skip all of the like Black Friday madness and just spend the day at home putting up the Christmas tree and playing Christmas music as loud as we can possibly stand it. There is, however, often a lot of debate among my household about which songs to play. Like, the kids love the basics, you know, like the songs that they've learned at church and at school. My husband, who is much more musically inclined than myself, loves the like soulful, feel it in the heart kind of songs that, in my opinion, pretty much put you to sleep. And then for me, the only requirement for my Christmas music is that the song make my head bob a little bit. I will be upfront. I have got no rhythm. I can't keep a beat, and I have no clue what it means to carry a tune, let alone have a tune. So I just like the kind of Christmas songs that make me feel happy. So that was kind of a long way to making the point that we are obviously in the Christmas season, which means we are into winter, and horse owners all over are dealing with snow and cold and the annual dilemma whether to blanket or not to blanket. I actually find it quite interesting to watch how passionate some people are on that particular subject. There are plenty of times that blanketing is beneficial, and there are plenty of times that it is not. It all depends on the horse's normal environment, whether they have been acclimated to that weather, whether they've grown a sufficient winter coat, and then, of course, you know, how far below the thermoneutral zone that the temperatures are going to drop. In fact, now that I say that, if this is the first time that you're hearing the words thermoneutral zone, I encourage you to go check out episode 112. It's called Cold Snap Feeding Tips. I'm also trying to get over a cold, so I apologize if my voice is a little bit funky on this episode. So today's episode is going to cover the topic of winter laminitis. But before we get started, this is your super friendly reminder to be sure to share my podcast with your friends and go follow the Dr. Jimmy social channels. So Facebook and Instagram, you can find those by searching at Dr. Jimmy, or you can search Feed Room Chemist, or you can just type in my handle, which is at Dr. Jimmy. Okay, let's get on with the show. I venture to guess that many of you listening to this podcast are probably fairly well versed in the topic of pasture-associated laminitis, or in other words, horses that founder or get sore feet when the grass turns green. The premise behind that particular condition is really related more to the sugar content, which sugar is naturally higher in green grass compared to dormant or non-growing grass, or winter grass, late fall grass. Brown grass, lots of different ways to call it dormant. So basically eating that sugar containing green grass is going to trigger a rise in glucose, and that can lead to problems for horses that suffer from insulin resistance or other metabolic conditions. So it's easy for horse owners to think that they can kind of sigh this breath of relief when the grass goes dormant. And like, we all want to just release these horses from their dry lots and let them enjoy some time out in the pasture or the paddock without any major fear of a laminitic episode happening. However, if you live in a winter wonderland, you may not be able to rest quite that easy, because cold weather laminitis lurks in the background, just waiting to take advantage of your horse, especially if your horse is prone to a metabolic condition. Now, because we are so trained as horse owners to look at the diet for a laminitis horse or a laminitic prone horse, many people will get kind of confused over the concept of winter laminitis. In fact, I've had listeners reach out and say, you know, they don't understand how their horse has developed laminitis. They've tested their hay. They are managing their horse's diet very strictly to limit, you know, total sugar consumption. Yet one morning they go out to feed and they notice that their horse is in this classic sawhorse stance, right? Their feet are kind of like spread out to the front and to the back. And they have no real desire to move. And, you know, when they felt the feet, you know, they're not hot like they would, like you would typically experience in, you know, a pasture associated laminitis situation. You know, so they're just kind of like, what is going on? Well, this is a typical winter laminitis situation. So unlike pasture-associated laminitis, winter laminitis is not as directly related to the diet, meaning the diet doesn't cause it. Instead, it is related to circulation within the horse's feet. Now, when a horse is exposed to extremely cold weather, the body naturally limits blood flow to the extremities. Actually, this happens to horses, it happens to humans, it happens to all mammals, right? The physiological response to cold is to pull the heat in and pull the blood towards the core of the body, basically in an effort to prioritize organ function, okay? So during this process, blood vessels in the feet are going to constrict, and these little shunts called arteriovenous shunts open, which means that it limits the delivery of blood, which means it also limits the delivery of oxygen to the feet. So those arteriovenous shunts are directing blood away from the capillaries that would normally be providing that blood and that oxygen to the sensitive tissues within the hoof capsule. And instead of sending it to the hoof capsule, they're basically rerouting that blood directly to the veins, okay? So in normal horses, there are basically these protective mechanisms in place that will still allow appropriate blood flow to the feet, so the feet won't be totally deprived of blood and oxygen and circulation. However, horses with existing metabolic issues or existing circulatory conditions, these are the horses that are going to struggle to get enough blood flow and enough oxygen to the feet. And this is a really interesting phenomenon. Actually, Dr. Eleanor Kellen explained this in pretty decent detail at the 2015 symposium, the Laminitis Symposium. So I'll drop a link to those proceedings in the show notes so that you can go read them. I think there's even a video. You may have to pay for the video, but I know the proceedings are free of charge. You can download those. So I'll drop that link and you can go explore a bit more if you're interested in this topic. But long story short, horses with insulin sensitivity or hyperinsulinemia, they have an undesirable response from the production of endothelin 1. Okay, so endothelin 1 is a peptide and it tells blood vessels to vasoconstrict, or in other words, shrink smaller in size. It tells the vessels to get smaller, okay? Which is not a good thing when the vessels are already constricted due to cold exposure, okay? A normal horse can adapt to the cold and their body will self-regulate through vasoconstriction and vasodilation to ensure, you know, an adequate blood flow to the feet. But a metabolic horse is going to struggle with this. They're going to struggle with the cold because they have, most likely, they have pre-existing damage or at least micro damage to the sensitive lamina within the feet. They're already going to have reduced circulation in the feet, and they're going to have higher levels of endothelin 1. So then to add insult to injury, the stress of cold exposure can also cause these surges of a hormone called cortisol in these particular horses. And that's an issue because it's been well documented that digital veins, so veins in the feet, veins going to the feet are going to be more sensitive to vasoconstrictors when the cortisol levels are high. So it just is like adding insult to injury, one thing after another, that's preventing these horses that are predisposed to metabolic conditions basically not to get enough blood flow to their feet. So the feet are not getting enough blood flow, which means they're not getting enough oxygen. Things are vasoconstricting, which is all of this is going to be very painful for the horse. And so that's where they get this, you know, like reluctance to move. They may posture and stand, like I said earlier, in kind of this sawhorse stance where their front feet are out in front of them, their hind feet are back behind them. And they just kind of try to find a comfortable spot. Or if it's really severe, they may just lay down and become recumbent and not want to get up at all. And then, like I said earlier too, if you go feel their feet, that they're not going to feel hot. Okay. So this is different than a laminitic episode that we would maybe be familiar with if it was starch or grain overload or sugar overload from green grass. So very, very different. Okay. So what can we do for these horses? First, keep them warm, right? Use blankets, use standing wraps, right? Like wrap their legs, make sure you understand how to wrap their legs. If you're not familiar with applying standing wraps, you know, find someone who is familiar with that can teach you. Or I suspect that there are a lot of resources on YouTube, or Google that you could go find out how to do that. But that standing wraps that are not applied correctly can be damaging to the horse's legs. So I just want to really call out that it's important that you know how to use those. So blankets, standing wraps, lined boots, and socks are all really good options for keeping the feet and the limbs insulated and protected and warm. So I actually just bought some germanium infused hoof socks from Incrediwear is the brand. And I am absolutely obsessed with them. And I think that those socks would be absolutely magical for helping prevent winter laminitis, right? So I would put the hoof sock on, and then I would probably use soft ride boots over them. And then I would probably also use the Incrediwear standing wraps in addition. So, Incrediwear, they've had a human line, which I've used personally for quite a few years now, but they now have this equine line. And so they're developing this wearable, you know, germanium infused fabric that you can put on your horses. So hoof socks, standing wraps, neck wraps, like they've got all kinds of stuff. But the point of the Incrediwear equine sock is to increase blood circulation and really improve that lymphatic drainage. So it's really good for horses that, you know, stock up in their stalls, but it would definitely also be really good support in the prevention of winter laminitis. And then the soft ride boots, the reason I like those is they've got this nice gel insert, which is going to have much better insulating properties. So you're not going to get that much effect out of like a plain rubber boot that you would go buy. So I definitely recommend grabbing some soft rides and using the soft rides in conjunction with the Incrediwear hoof socks and then the Incrediwear standing wraps. So that would be kind of my go-to protocol for sort of dressing the limbs of a horse that maybe has poor circulation or has some metabolic tendencies. Secondly, then, from a nutritional aspect, you know, of course, because these metabolic horses are going to be the horses that are most predisposed to the situation, you should already have a good nutrition program in place that limits their total sugar intake, that keeps, you know, the glycemic response of the diet down. And I've done, I've done past episodes on all of that. So you can flip back to some of those on how to feed those types of horses. But then if you think more in terms of like functional support, you know, you could consider using some nutritional aids that are designed to support circulation and support nitric oxide production. So nitric oxide production specifically within the walls of the blood vessels themselves. So we want nitric oxide to be produced within the vessels. We don't necessarily want nitric oxide to be produced within other body tissues. So it's pretty specific about how we make that happen. My go-to in that situation is a product called Surge, and it's designed to help dilate those blood vessels, which means that that, you know, nitric oxide is being produced, and it's keeping those blood vessels open so that that encourages adequate blood flow and improves the circulation to the feet. And then lastly, make sure that, you know, feet are properly trimmed. Make sure that they are maintained all winter long. I know it's easy sometimes if you're not riding in the winter, it's easy to kind of get off schedule with your farrier. But it's really important not to let the feet get too long, because that can add mechanical stress and potentially damage that sensitive lamina and actually increase the level of pain that your horse is feeling. So on the note of pain, I just want to bring up that horses suffering from winter laminitis, they may not respond all that favorably to NSAIDs. And I bring that up because, you know, a normal recommendation from your vet for a horse that's suffering from pasture-associated laminitis or, you know, dealing with a starch grain overload situation, a lot of times your veterinarian will recommend bute or some kind of anti-inflammatory or NSAID. However, that practice may not necessarily help as much in a winter laminitis situation. And the reason is just because the root of the problem is lack of circulation. But I'm not a vet. I'm not pretending to be one. So, you know, always consult with your veterinarian, because every single horse and every single situation is definitely unique. Okay, I think that's going to be a wrap actually for this show. Short and sweet, right? And then I'm actually going to be signing off for the rest of 2023. But I promise I will be back after the new year. And I have some really exciting things in the works that I can't wait to share with you guys. So stay tuned to my social media channels. That's where I plan to release the information on some of these new things that I've been working on for you guys. So if you don't follow me already, please go make that happen on both Facebook and on Instagram. So again, my handle is at Dr. Jimmy. That's DrJyme. Or you can find me by searching Feed Room Chemist, or you can find me by searching Dr. Jimmy. And then also, I want to hear your tips and your tricks for supporting circulation in your horse's legs and feet. I know that a lot of you out there are dealing with winter laminitis or have in the past. So please drop your photos, give us your tips, tricks, hacks, drop those in the comments for this episode's post on my social channels, and I will see you all in 2024.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.